Welcome, everybody, to episode 349 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my spring fling co-host, James Jacoby John. We're in the first day of spring. Thank God.
I don't know if I should be happy or sad that I'm your spring fling. I thought that we were more deeply committed to each other than that. But, I mean, I guess
We are. We are on very many levels, spiritually. Okay.
Good.
Geez, I almost said physically, but you know, I was thinking about it and I felt awkward, but you know, we'll just
you're like my hetero podcast life mate.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure, whatever that word means. We got a great show lined up for you today. Apologize listeners for last week and I having an episode. Apparently a vehicle hit a telephone or electrical pole near my house and we were out of power for 5 hours. And if you want internet, you need power.
That's true.
So,
it is still a dependency in that stack. Eventually, yeah. We'll work on that. But
yeah, dependency the requirement. This past weekend, one of the largest WordCamps in the United States, outside of WordCamp US, WordCamp Miami, took place. I believe what is it? The 11th, 12th, 13th year it's been going on.
Technically, seems like forever. Technically, this was like the 11th year.
Yeah,
but like the 10th year of Word Camps, even though it was like the 11th Word Camp, if that makes sense, because there was like one where it kind of overlapped, the dates were weird. And then the first Word Camp Miami technically took place at a bar camp at a separate conference called Future of Web Apps.
I think Word Camp Miami is on the list of Word Camps that have been going on for the most consecutive years in a row. There's a list out there somewhere, and I think Miami's on it.
That's right. And I think I've only maybe missed one year. I don't remember exactly because I think the year that Carrie and I got married, I think I missed. But I don't remember if it was just if I'm misremembering or if it was just off by a week or how it worked out.
Well, you were there. You keynoted. I was not there. What was your experience like?
I mean, the most embarrassing experience was having a typo in my keynote. But other than that, everything was pretty super awesome. I had typed the word accessibility, but I didn't like how long it was in my slides. And so then I shortened it down to accessible, but then it didn't autocorrect with the B-I-L at the end. And so I just left it because I was like, it doesn't look right, but it's not complaining to me about it.
Accessibile, so, huh?
Accessibile. How embarrassing. It was like there were four words on the screen and one of them was typed incorrectly. So that happened. But the whole event is awesome. Like David and the rest of the folks that organize WordCamp Miami do like such an amazing job of hosting that event every single year. They have a great venue at FIU. I joked with David and Aaron Campbell eventually later on that David does more work for WordCamp Miami, that like he puts more effort into that event than like I put into like most things on a good day. Like he has the tweets set up. He's like on stage. He's like hand holding folks that need it. He's has a great volunteer staff of people that are managing the event. He's juggling his family as they're volunteering.
By the way, the kids camp
and everything. I mean,
it's kind of unrelated, but shout out to David Bissett on his improvements to his health. He looks like a brand new man.
He does look
the past
like
a few years. Yeah, he's been working on that. So, shout out to you, David.
An amazing transformation, really. And it's like he puts the work in. Like that's the thing that I guess like my like TLDR with David Bissett is he puts the hard work in for the event, for himself, for his volunteers, for attendees, for speakers, like all around. He like doesn't miss a beat. His Twitter handle is Dimension Media. He's mostly Dimension Media all across the internet and the web. But if you don't know who David is, you should check out his Twitter account for like the list of accolades and recognition for all of the volunteers for WordCamp Miami. Like that's one of the things that I have always thought is super important to do and that a lot of WordCamps could probably stand to do a little bit better at, that David, I think, does a phenomenal job of, is like pointing out who the individuals are that make the event happen. Because yes, it's speakers, yes, the attendees, yes, it's all the other obvious things, but like the people that unload the truck, the people that set that stuff the bags full of things, people that get people to and from the events on time, to make sure people are checked in and make sure everyone is at their talks on time. Like all the little things that happen throughout the day that happen at every WordCamp, David makes sure that all those people get recognized in a way that a lot of other events don't. So, can't say enough about the way that David runs a camp, really.
And speaking about the work they put in for the speakers, this year, the speaker ratio was 50% male, 50% female. Nearly half of the speakers are new to WordCamp Miami.
Isn't that awesome?
And they really spend, I know just from David's tweets, that they spend a lot of time and effort trying to cultivate new speakers and trying to get that female ratio up compared to most other camps.
Yep. Josepha talked a little bit about that in her Q&A, which should eventually be on WordPress.tv also. But getting everyone involved is such a huge, huge deal. I mentioned it. I mean, like, you know, one of the slides in my keynote was, and I had joked, but it's like both an admission, but also like just making sure that everyone understands, like, I am not the future of WordPress, right? Like the folks that have been here for a really long time are need to acknowledge or accept the fact that like the future is not necessarily us anymore. It is new people. It is people that are coming in with fresh ideas, with new perspectives, new approaches on things. And WordCamp Miami is, again, one of those events that focuses on the kids camp. It focuses on education. It focuses on the things that are up and coming and the things that are exciting. And it makes WordCamp Miami, like, every single year is something that has something new and exciting and to walk away with. And the kids camp was super awesome to see just, like, how quickly they adapted and learned what they thought about Gutenberg. Just everything across the board was such a, it was a really super good event.
And speaking about the future of WordPress, our guest today, her name is Sandy Edwards from down in the Miami area. And she actually is part of the Kids Camp or Kids Event Initiative that's going on with WordCamps. And she was part of the organization team for the Kids Camp down in Miami, which actually included more than 100 children this year, not including parents and guardians. And Sandy, thanks a lot for joining us on the program today.
Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about this this kid. Well, you know what? Let's start off in the beginning. First of all, tell us your WordPress origin story, what you do with WordPress on a daily basis, and then we'll get into the Kids Camp or Kids Event Initiative that you're spearheading.
Absolutely. So it's actually kind of interesting because I actually started using WordPress out of necessity at a job and didn't really know about the community until I had used it for about 2 years, which is I'm finding more and more of reality, like as far as getting people involved early and getting them involved often. But yeah, so my husband worked for a digital marketing agency and they needed some help with some project management and just general organizational stuff. I hopped right in, took care of what they needed to do, and then just got tired of sending developers changes. So I spent an entire weekend on Code Academy learning how to code, came out with a brand new website in one single weekend, and now I'm a developer. So I do project management, I do development. Couldn't build a plugin to save my life, but when it comes to front end stuff, I've got that down pat. So definitely fun. My husband and I own Data Driven Labs, so we're a digital marketing agency that focuses on big data. So knowing who's coming to your site, where they came from, all of those good analytics stuff. And so we're heavily involved. We're actually in Orlando, Florida, so a little north of Miami, is where we're based out of, and heavily involved in our WordPress community locally. I'm the lead org this year and last year for the Orlando WordCamp. And other than that, you know, we try to hit as many as we can as far as contributing and giving back in an educational setting to all the different camps across the country.
Now, let's see. The last time I was at WordCamp Miami was a few years ago. It could have been more than that, but I remember it had a kids camp It might have been the first one, or it might have been the second one, but I believe, you know, I almost want to say that Word Camp Miami is kind of broke new ground with having a kids camp as part of Word Camp, or sort of the curriculum. Is that, am I semi accurate there in the history of
kids
camps at Word Camp Miami?
The last six years.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say the last 6 years they've had one. I got involved 5 years ago with it down in Miami, and then I kind of brought it up to Orlando. So, but yeah.
Yeah, and I remember attending that kids camp, and they were – I attended one there, and I attended one, I believe it was up north, like in Ann Arbor or Grand Rapids. I think they had a kids camp up there, and I was very impressed with the children who were – just going through, making changes to themes, publishing content. And it's like, you know, they were doing things that took me years to learn. Just, you know, it was like no problem for them. But tell us some of the highlights, some of the organizational structure of putting these kid camps together, and how this is sort of branching off into an initiative to try and get this to spread through other work camps throughout the world.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of interesting, because to actually put one of these events together is not nearly as complex or as complicated as an actual full-on WordCamp, because most of the time what you're doing is you're asking the venue for an additional room, and you're grabbing some, you know, arts and crafts supplies, and then making sure parents stay with the kids. The biggest complication, of course, is making sure we have waivers signed so that, you know, if we get pictures of the kids, we can use them later, things like that. But as far as, you know, the struggle with, you know, getting kids to come, it's actually the school systems is the downfall. So, you know, we reach out to after school programs, we reach out to the local school districts asking if they can send an announcement to the parents that, hey, you know, this private event is going on. But we always try to make sure, especially in Miami, we always try to make sure that we offer a bunch of free tickets. So, you know, we have a very low ticket point of entry. It's like $7-$8, just enough to cover food cost with the caterers. And then from there, if we get a group or something that contacts us and says, you know, hey, we want to bring these 20 kids, but we're just not sure they're going to be able to pay, we're like, done. We just make sure that they have the tickets, because the last thing we want is money to be the reason that kids aren't coming. So I think that's the biggest thing, is challenging organizers to find a way to consider that when they're making these programs and setting their budgets, to keep that price point as low as absolutely possible, and finding a way, even if it's through like a buy a ticket, give a ticket program, or, you know, just asking Central, you know, hey, can we figure out how to get enough in for 20 more kids or whatever? Miami is the largest kids camp in the nation at the moment. We sold 138 tickets this year. We had 88 kids show up. But the caveat with that is that we actually run two kids programs in Miami, and I think they're the only camp that does it. And that's because we've got a, you know, 6 to 13 age range that most camps are. And then the other thing that we do is we do a teen Shark Tank Entrepreneurial Academy. So that's the fun one. I mean, they're both fun. They're both immense amounts of fun. But with the entrepreneurial program, we're getting people like John James and Chris Christoph, and Josepha even spoke at the kids teen camp. So bringing in names in the industry that have the experience, have the understanding when it comes to building a business, marketing a product. This year's was e-commerce focused. So, you know, they had to come up with a business plan. They had to create a product idea. They had to pitch it to a panel of judges at the end of the weekend. And they walked away with, I think it was $30 for first place, $20 for second place, and $10 for third place in gift cards. So like, we even make sure that there, you know, there's some take there. So. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a pretty cool program. I would have liked to have been there on that weekend to be like just listening to their pitches.
Yeah. And, you know, you get ideas from really, this is never going to happen, to, you know, I never really thought about that. That actually might be a half decent product if we just, you know, figure out how to manufacture it, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it's definitely interesting because we come in and it's not that we give them a problem to solve. It's not that we put their brain in a box. It's literally just come up with a product. Mm-hmm. Do you know of a need that you think you can fix? Tell us what it is. So it's very, very open-minded and very thought-driven, instead of a lot of programs I see outside of our community are very much, how does the trash guy get around from house to house to house faster and use tech to do it? And what can we offer him as a solution, right? We don't want to ever like limit their thought process or their thinking process.
Yeah. What we do is we get rid of the trash guy, replace him with a truck. That's the answer to that. Because
every house gets a tube. Every house gets a tube that just like you, like instead of like we have water.
You get a trash can, and then the truck has a forklift on it, and then it does all the lifting for you. You don't need the guy; you just need a driver. That's
these are all terrible ideas. None of these are good ideas.
But Sarah Gooding on WP Tavern wrote a great article highlighting the kids camp, and she says that 1 5th grade student has been using WordPress for 3 years, said that she had planned to continue using it to document her life and share her future educational experiences, which I thought was cool. And it was just kind of cool. They had this whole kids panel, so talking about and describing their experiences with WordPress and how they use it. Some of these children use it for blogs, use it for science projects, or even robotic competitions. So it's kind of cool to see the varied use of WordPress with these kids.
Yeah, I think the other cool thing is to see kids building a business. We had one family; they had two daughters. And so basically what they did was they came the first year, and gosh, man, that was 4 years ago now. And they built a blog. And so they encouraged their two daughters to post regularly. I think it was like every other day is what the requirement in their home was, which, you know, really that comes down to the parents. But then the next year they came back and they said, you know, this WordPress.com thing is cool, but I want to change these colors and I want to make these tweaks and I want to add this feature and I found this plugin and I want to use this. How do I do that? And so I literally was like sprinting across campus to get with all of the different hosts that are there. And I'm like, I need a hosting account for this kid. And they're like, done. So I ended up migrating them over to .org and we started showing her how to, you know, change the site, add a theme, make CSS changes. And by the time she left, she had an e-commerce store up and running. And that was kind of cool to see. And the next year she came back with a P&L statement and she had done 10,000 in profit for the year.
Oh,
so like,
goodness,
you know, I'm not going to say that the program is life altering or changing, but I think it kind of is for some of these
That's
kids.
A lot of digital lemonade.
You cool. know, it was actually slime. They made slime in their kitchen and sold it. And, you know, the cool thing is that it goes back to having parents being heavily involved, because these two girls' parents like pushed their mm-hmm. limits and was like, hey, you have an idea. I'm going to support you in that. And you don't always see that, but I see that more in our community than I do when I volunteer outside of our community. Parents are definitely more apt and more willing to be like, yes, absolutely. You have this idea. Let's run with it. Let's see what happens. But I think the really cool thing with that is that there's a lot of business learning going on too, because anytime mom would have to go to the grocery store with the list, mom made the income from the revenue from the business pay for those items. So she was learning about, you know, product costs and manufacturing costs, and mom charged a delivery fee. And like, these are the things that you don't really learn just in a standard classroom.
And in fact, so the growing popularity of the, WordCamp Miami's kids events has inspired organizers to host a new one-day event for kids and teachers later this year. And there's no estimated date, but it looks like it's aiming to be scheduled for around summer of 2019. What can you tell us about this event?
So I don't know a whole lot yet. So David Bissett, as we've already determined, is an absolutely amazing individual. His wife is just as amazing.
Yes, she is.
This weekend, there was a bunch of twists and turns that occurred and made it so that my focus had to shift and with the plans of the weekend, and I needed some major assistance. And she literally was like, there, stepped up. And she used to handle the Sunday of the kids' event, and that was all steam. So we actually learned colors and all about pixels. So she was able to step up and really like help me rethink and reorganize since the plans kind of came to a screeching halt. It is her program that she is putting on hopefully this summer. So I know it's going to be amazing and I know it's going to be absolutely awesome because she has some really unique ways of teaching these tech concepts. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what comes of that. And I also know that they're going to be documenting everything as they go. So that way we can share that with other organizers and other meetup groups so that they can do these one-off events as well. Since right now they're pretty much tied to actual WordCamps, we'd love to start seeing some split-offs and separate events happen.
You know, I want to know at these kids' events if they're arguing about white space, indentations, tabs, IDEs. No, that's not. I wonder if that's what's going on.
Most of the time, it's can I write about squirrels? And I'm like, yes, you can write about anything you want about write about. And they're like the grass, my pictures, my art. And I'm like, yes, all of the above.
Yes, so. they are way more smart about the things that they are worried about. Like they're worried about squirrels and we are worried about white space formatting and indentation and things. Yeah. Oh, to be young again.
Yeah. I'd rather be worrying about squirrels.
Me too.
So was there any feedback or I didn't get a chance to watch any of the live stream, but did any of the children that you can recall this past weekend, have anything to say about their experiences with Gutenberg and maybe the block concept?
So, you know, part of all of those twists and turns was a major internet backbone blocking our, the ISP blocking our ability to get our site set up.
Oh.
So, no, I don't have any feedback yet, but I will be in Raleigh for WordCamp Raleigh, and we will be having a kids camp there. So I will be gathering feedback while I am there as well. So, you know, crazy turn of events, internet being what the internet is in that, you know, there's multiple stages. So if one works and one doesn't, you still can't do what you wanted to do. So that was kind of frustrating. But I will say the teens were hardwired at the campus and they didn't have any issues. So they were able to get their sites up and they liked the flow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as far as like the teens in Gutenberg, granted that their minds are a little older. So I'm kind of interested to see how like the 6 to 12 range does with it. But the teens liked the flow. They said it felt more like using like Microsoft Word, but with an easier way of connecting the dots to where things go. So
wow, that's a huge statement to make.
So I kind of agree personally when I use Gutenberg. So it's kind of a, you know, when you're teaching the class, you kind of tend to drive the thought processes. But yeah, so no complaints with the teens, and most of the teens, this was like their second or third year there. So they've seen Classic Editor, they've seen Gutenberg, and the fact that they didn't complain about it and just kind of took to it like champs, I say that's a pretty good sign for the overall community as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to worry about the kids saying, you know, when's the Classic Editor support going to end? And this block thing is going to be the end of the world. They didn't have to worry about it. They're just like, you know, maybe experiencing blocks for the first time and just thinking, wow, this is very cool. I get this. It's like Minecraft. You're building stuff within WordPress.
Exactly. And I think because they're so used to that world when they play their Minecraft games and other games that they play, I think that helps. So definitely a different set of logic that they're engrossed in every day.
So based on what you have seen, maybe what John has seen, are you very optimistic about these children being the future of WordPress, the platform? And where perhaps they could help influence or help shape it going into the next, 10 or 15 years?
Absolutely. I don't know about you guys, but for me, just seeing them light up and having a place to have their thoughts known without having to turn to YouTube, and having a place to, I think that one thing that people forget about is that the more you write, the better you'll read, and the better you'll read, the more educated you'll be driven to be. So when we're talking about kids reading more and them learning the logic behind what's driving their websites, not only are we giving them the opportunity to have other jobs and other careers, we're also helping them to become better written, better spoken individuals. Mm-hmm. So, more easily employable no matter where they go. Right. And so I feel like this is crucial to society as a whole. And that we really need to push these types of programs, not just inside our WordPress community, but also into our schools locally. So, reaching out to your local school and saying, hey, do you have your kids blogging? If not, what can I do to help get that set up?
Right. I agree. Totally. The kids camp does such a good job of introducing kids of all ages to a lot of adult concepts in a very safe environment, and presenting in front of people, putting ideas out there that are not fully fleshed out, getting feedback on those ideas, from adults that aren't your parents or aren't a teacher. It really does set the kids that are up at these events for future success in a lot of ways that aren't immediately apparent unless you're really thinking about the longer haul here. The Minecraft comparison is a little silly, but it's super real. They really do think differently, and they navigate the UI of it very seamlessly. It is a very natural thing. And so watching them not only just work with the software, but also learn how to navigate the groups and challenges and the community and everything is just incredible. It's super good.
I want to attend a kids panel where one of them describes, they're 10 years old and they're describing how we have to save the open web. I would love to attend that session.
That will happen, I'm sure.
Well, I think the other thing that's cool is some of the kids that were on the kids panel are actually in the speaking circuit now, for lack of a better term. And I know that it's still the Bissett family, but Olivia, David's daughter, she spoke in Orlando this past year. So this isn't just about a kids camp. Mm-hmm. It's about opening the kids up to an entire community that's going to, accept them and help nurture them into what they want to be. And I think we're all pretty open in this community to just be open and accepting and kind of encouraging when it comes to what we all want to be when we grow up, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to see Topher DeRoge's daughter, Sophia, speak. That was super cool to just not only did she do an awesome job, not only did she also talk about BuddyPress in her talk, which is selfishly awesome, but it's just cool to see parents getting their kids more deeply involved and having them totally take to it very naturally and enjoy themselves. I know Chris Lemma's daughter is thinking, she's given a lightning talk, I think, before, and she's planning on applying to give her first full featured talk. They are the next generation for sure.
Well, I think the other thing to remember is we are going to age out.
Yeah,
and that's a sad thing to think about, but
yep, I think at some I've already
point we're going to retire.
Yep.
So,
yep, you're 100% right. And that is an important thing to acknowledge and because transitions between generations are usually pretty, they don't go very well. There's not a data handoff between between the generations, or and so I feel like we are smart enough to be able to maybe handle that better. Like, we can set other folks up, or younger folks, to hopefully fast track their education based on ours, and give them what is important and cut out what isn't.
And these kids camps and these kids events are, as you say, Sandy, the opportunity, sort of the opening of the door to this great thing that so many people love and enjoy about WordPress, and that is the community, and that there are so many people that are willing to embrace these people and encourage them and help them as much as they can. And I think it's pretty cool that so many parents out there put sort of that kind of trust into organizers and event organizers like you folks, like you, Sandy and David, to have these kids events and to introduce them to this community that's worldwide. And hopefully that, you know, that sticks with these children, and, you know, and when they grow up, they could sort of pass that on to other people as well. So it's kind of starting at the ground level here with these great community standards and behavior and etiquette.
The thing about like WordCamp Miami, even the kids camp for sure, but like everything about the event is very like kid friendly and very wholesome. Like everything from the like VIP speakers dinner being at Dave and Buster's to the after party being on campus at the Chili's that's there. The whole event, like beginning to end, is sort of designed around the idea of it being friendly to bring your kids to, bring your family to bring to have everyone from all experience levels and ages there, which is a little bit different than after parties that might be at a bar, or that might be at a place that isn't as accessible to different people. So the kids campus and everything are awesome, but again, WordCamp Miami is by nature of it being having a great organizational team, by nature of it being an experienced team that has done this for a decade or so, they have a lot of stuff ironed out that everyone kind of continues to look towards them, because they really are rocking it every year.
Well, I think the other thing to keep in mind is other organizers are wanting to add this into their repertoire as well. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of camps. Most camps have some sort of like quiet room or quiet space, but making sure that kids, A, post rules, but B, make sure that kids know that is there. My son actually has Asperger's, so he knows where the quiet room is in Orlando. We do not take him to Miami because it is a huge camp. But he knows in Jacksonville and Orlando where he can go to get away from the crowd and just kind of take a breather. And I think that it's important that all of us as organizers and speakers and things like that know that there are people who have those needs. And if we're going to be an entirely inclusive community and we're going to open it up to kids, especially a lot of times you'll see kids with those types of needs attending, that we keep that in mind too.
For sure.
So with this initiative, how much support have you gotten from, you know, inside the core project, people inside the project? Is it an official part of the WordPress project, and how could people get involved?
Absolutely. So we actually have a working group right now as part of the community team. It's only been in place about a month and a half, so we don't have a huge number of people on the team yet. But what we need are people who can go and see a kids camp being done, write up documentation on how it's being done. If there are teachers in the community that have ideas of things that could be done or curriculum that could be added to the repertoire for organizers, that would be good too. So a lot of writing, a lot of editing, a lot of testing. So after we get some of this curriculum written up, having people in different communities across the globe that want to test it out by having a kids camp. And ultimately, the long-term goal is for it to not just be WordCamps. We want to see workshops, meetups, after school clubs at schools. We want this to be, you know, a sweeping of kids into the community as a whole and people who are willing to back them up. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and while we don't have a huge amount of support, but we have support from Central, but we don't have a huge amount of support from the community, other camps that already have something going on. But over the last 6 weeks, I've gotten a lot of emails about wanting to have something at their camp. So I'm working with a lot of different word camps on how to get started and how to train people in their area on how to do it. So like when I go to Raleigh here in a couple of weeks, that's not my area. That's not my camp. That's not my region. But I will be training three people to take over this initiative there locally. So that way they can take it and run with it and own it inside of North Carolina. So hopefully we'll see a lot more of that interest coming through. But anyone who's interested in that, or just they have a kids camp and they want swag, we have a central depository of swag now for the kids. So so I have an email sent to kids at wordcamp.org, and we can get swag.
Well, hold on. Your audio is cutting out a little bit. Can you repeat that email address?
Yeah, kids at wordcamp.org.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So we've got pins and lanyards and the means to get badges if you want something unique to the kids but don't want the expense of it for your camp. And we also, if they get here from China anytime soon, we'll have plushies. So that'll be cool.
That's cool.
So we're just waiting on those to ship. So yeah.
I wanted to say before we wrap it up, I guess, because we're probably about that time, that like aside from this being like a very super important obvious thing, and I think we've tried to hammer that home pretty hard in this episode, but that like this is sort of a global issue, is getting kids involved in things like and WordPress is one of the easier things. There's a very low, relatively low barrier to entry, having any computer to be able to have access to WordPress, and maybe access to an individual to help them get it set up. Like, there are many things that have a higher barrier to entry. Like, if you really like horses are expensive. Getting access to a horse to learn how to ride is expensive. If you want to learn how to fly an airplane, like, these are all like hobbies, or you want to learn how to snowboard or ski, like, the gear is expensive. Like, getting kids involved in pretty much all of these things is only really getting like exponentially more difficult, just economically, let alone having access to them. But WordPress being free, the computing power being relatively cheap at this point, makes this an easy kind of thing for us to all take advantage of. Like, we have lots of things that are not in the community's way to jump on encouraging kids to get more involved, and that like I think Sandy is kind of saying, is we need more adults in the community to step up and write the documentation to get involved and editorialize things and spread the word to other camps. And the only thing in our way from doing it is just the volunteer power. It's just the putting in the effort, and I think we should do that.
And I think it's so key that right now it's all about the processes of creating all the various types of documentation, which sets the foundation for other people, for other events all across the world to set something like this up in their own neighborhoods, and how key that documentation is to sort of guiding the way, kind of creating a set of like guidelines or ideas or suggestions on how to accomplish certain tasks regarding these events. And right now it's the documentation aspects that, you know, I believe you could really use some volunteer help on.
Absolutely. And reach out to your community and see if they're already doing something. If they're not doing something and you want to see them do something, just ask how to do it. I mean, they can reach out to Central. They can reach out to the kids' email. We can get you all the information you need to get started. But the first thing you have to do is ask, because if someone's not asking, no one's doing. That's so right. Definitely reach out. But just little plug, Calgary has already announced that they're going to be doing one this year. And so has San Jose And I believe there's a camp in Nigeria as well. So this really is kind of cool to see it going all over the place. And hopefully we'll see a lot more popping up this year.
And I bet seeing that and seeing how these events going all over the world, I bet you it gives you that cool tingling feeling inside, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, especially because it's been such a long road getting to this point and making sure that we're keeping the kids safe and that we're informing the parents about internet safety and just all those little things that are big deals that have to be paid attention to. So,
well, Sandy, I want to thank you again very much for coming on the show and telling us about this initiative. And again, tell everybody out there, if they want to get involved with this, if they're interested in this, where can they go to find more information or even participate in the meetings that happen on Slack?
Absolutely. So tomorrow at 2100 UTC, which is 5 p.m. Eastern for us Americans that go by Eastern time zone, we are meeting in the Make Community Team Slack. So if you're not on Slack, you can go to make.wordpress.org. to get signed up and get signed in. If you have questions on getting to that point, just email me at kidswordcamp.org. I am more than happy to help you figure out how to get on there because it is multiple steps, and we'll get that all sorted out so that we can have you guys in the meeting.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Sandy. And again, congrats on this initiative and all the best to you. And I can't wait to see this event happening more often throughout the year and throughout the world.
Awesome. I'll see you guys later.
Bye, Sandy. Thanks again.
Great rest of the afternoon. And so that's a pretty cool wrap up there. You know, John, speaking of WordCamp Miami, I saw you on stage. I don't know if you were doing the Q&A with Josepha, but I think there was some conversations about leadership that happened at WordCamp Miami. Any insight into that?
I would suggest everyone wait and get it straight from Josepha from WordPress.tv, because I would hate to paraphrase all of her answers incorrectly. But I'll leave it at that. It was awesome. The Q&A was super good. I mean, the one with Matt last year was great. But this year, with the executive director role being new, with Josepha having the experience or in the community that she's already had for the past few years, it was super good. And we even ran a little bit long. We had some questions on Twitter, and the Q&A was back to back with my keynote. So I took some of my own time out to make the Q&A more
so
awesome.
Nice of you. That's so generous of you.
We could have just had the Q&A for the rest of the night, probably, but David insisted that I gave a keynote. So.
We do have a bit of WordPress news to get to. Last week, if you haven't updated by now, boy, you might be a victim. I'm not sure. But WordPress 5.1.1 was released. It passed a critical vulnerability. It was actually for a critical cross-site scripting vulnerability found in 5.1 and prior versions. And the release post actually credited Simon Scannell of RIPS Technologies. I kind of like that name, RIPS. But for discovering and reporting the vulnerability. So since it's a point release, most sites out there should have updated automatically. But if not, after you double check, make sure your site is running 5.1.1. The dark mode plugin that we have mentioned here on the show that you brought up as a tidbit on one of the other episodes, the dark mode plugin is up for adoption. Daniel James has said that he's stepping back from plugin development and WordPress contributions, and we'd like to see someone passionate pick it up. So we'll have to see if somebody picks up the dark mode plugin. James did say that he's happy to transfer the plugin to someone else to continue it as long as they're well-known and respected, end quote. He just won't be giving it away for security reasons. It would be great for it to be included in core one day, but at the very least, it would be nice for someone who really likes it to just continue it, end quote. There you have it. If we've seen in the past, you really got to – it's great when developers take their due diligence and research to find out if the person they're transferring it to is someone worthy in the community of having that kind of responsibility of taking over that plugin.
I hope somebody takes it over very quickly. At the very least, I mean, I don't really want another thing, but I really want dark mode to be a thing. And so I use it everywhere. Most of my slides for my keynote were like in using dark mode or in some kind of variation of dark mode. So worst case scenario, if he would be okay with me helping out, I would try and do my best to help out. But hopefully somebody else steps up and does it before me.
Version 5.3 of the Gutenberg plugin was released today. This one includes a block management model with the ability to enable and disable blocks from within the block inserter. So if you look at the such as the common blocks category, there's a little checkbox to the left of it. So you can checkmark that so you can either hide or display those common blocks. Or if you look underneath that category of, you know, the paragraph, image, heading, gallery blocks, those have checkboxes. So you can checkmark each one for them to display or you have access to them. There's a couple other things as well, such as the possibility to nest different kinds of blocks in a cover block container, which actually looks pretty cool in their example. And the features that are in Gutenberg 5.3 will actually be included in WordPress 5.2. So you have that as well. There's also improvements to the select and hover states of blocks,
ooh,
which would be a pretty good addition.
Yep, that's a big deal.
Well, I threw this in here. It's about Firefox 66.0. was released the other day, and the reason why I added it to the notes is that Firefox now prevents websites from automatically playing sound. Thank God. You can add individual sites to an exceptions list, or you can simply turn blocking off. You can learn more about autoplay and how it would be gradually rolled out to all users via the Mozilla blog. But I was on CNET the other day reading a comparison of iPhone models. And on the right-hand side, there's this video playing, and my headphones are off. But I said, what the hell is that noise? And it was a video playing automatically in the sidebar. And I think Bloomberg or some of the business sites do the same thing, where there's a video on the right side that plays music or audio automatically. So this is a neat addition to Firefox. And quite honestly, it's a shame that the browser has to prevent the audio from playing automatically on websites. You know, it should be a general practice by now that sites should not do this. But as we've learned, and there have been articles, we're simply destroying the web. We're doing everything we should.
That's right.
So, right. You know.
I mean, I had a rant about that at work.
It's like browsers. Please save us from ourselves.
Right, right. Like every Python developer knew that Python was better than PHP, but PHP totally still kind of won the web. And then everyone was like, JavaScript, why would you write everything in JavaScript? That doesn't make any sense. And then JavaScript completely engulfed and took over the web. I feel like there is a huge amount of misdirection that happens with, like, you know, playing sounds automatically isn't a thing that you should do, but then everyone does it. And then for a little while, they reap the benefits of it. I mean, I don't know who that works on, because same with videos, like self-playing video, self-playing audio, like everything that is supposed to be bad. And with pop-ups,
I just got here. Why do you want my email address?
Yeah, a bunch of folks have, like, Medium was like a big offender. It was like there's at the top, like, bar on the top, two bars on the bottom, a cookie thing, and like a download the app plus a pop-up. Like, why are we doing that? Why? It's terrible. So there are a lot of things. So Firefox is working on, like, pop-up protection too, right? I think I had seen somewhere where they're trying to, like, use some AI to maybe it was a Google project. I feel like I should know this, where they're really trying to, like, hone in on what pop-ups are, and then just avoid them in the HTML themselves, which is another.
And I believe Firefox also added a feature not too long ago where it you could set an exception or a blacklist to happen automatically from websites, giving you that little notification to send you alerts. Sort of like text alerts, but they're web alerts. I don't ever want to see those. I don't ever want to subscribe to any website. That's what RSS is for.
Right. RSS was too good too soon.
So there's that. So I'll make sure that that's on in Firefox 66.0.
I mean, because you're talking about not WordPress stuff, I could say that the new AirPods came out today. That's kind of fun and a big deal, and the thing that a lot of people were waiting for, like the wireless charging AirPods case, the AirPods 2. That's a big deal. I mean, I haven't ordered mine yet.
I don't use AirPods. I don't use earbuds at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. They're not for everybody, but they are pretty wonderful, I think.
So I've heard. And let's see, there's discussions that have been taking place on the Make WordPress core site about an idea of a block directory, even an idea of maybe installing a searching for blocks within the editor itself, and sort of keeping blocks to individual blocks. It's kind of a crazy discussion. There's a lot of complexities involved, so we're not going to get into it on today's show, but the idea is, what's that?
I said thank you.
Oh yeah. Well, I read your comment on that post, by the way. So I know what your thoughts are on it. Which you had a follow up comment that had an apology in it. So we'll just leave it at that.
That's right.
But there's discussions going on there about the sort of separate block directory and how to implement it into either the editor or how this is all going to work. So that's something to look forward to. Tomorrow. The 21st is the scheduled beta release of WordPress 5.2. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And outside of that, you know, I'll just throw this out there, John. Every time the internet's birthday comes up, there's always this tinge of happy birthday. And there's this onslaught of videos and interviews with Tim Berners-Lee, one of the creators of the World Wide Web, about how we have to save the open web, about how it's dying. There are so many organizations, corporations, and laws and whatever affecting the web that's sort of ripping it apart. And we have to. There's always this huge campaign on saving the open web.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? Any thoughts on that?
I do notice that. I'm going to channel my inner Morten Rand Hendrickson to say that the open web is not dying and that open does always win in the long run. But that the message, I think, is true, that there are a lot of people that are that think that they are doing good, that are not necessarily doing the good that they think that they are doing. And so I guess... you can look at companies like Microsoft that do good things, but they are not always doing the right good things. Or someone had brought up an interesting point about Automattic and their video that they released about their, targeting Facebook and Instagram very specifically. But then the counterpoint being that WordPress chooses to build the future of the new editor using technology that was open sourced by Facebook. And so the open web will always be open, and it may never be it may never be the coolest thing that there is to be, but that is part, I think, of what makes it the cool thing. And so I don't like to say, and kind of, because I think I got sensitive to it with the BBs when people would see a couple of months go by without an update, and they would say, well, is Buddy Press dead? Is BB Press dead? It's like, of course it's not dead. It's just stable. It's just sitting. We're working on other things, and there's nothing wrong with it. And so the things that are wrong, we're fixing, and we're building new features. And so something being dead is not, it's not dead till it's dead, you know? And the open web is being influenced in a lot of interesting ways, but it will never die. And if it starts to die, it will reinvent itself in a more open and new and different and exciting ways. So we're lucky, thankfully, that WordPress is helping win that battle, if there is a battle, I guess. You know, the 34% of the web is a really important number when it comes to the open web, and so it is fun to be a part of that, I think.
And I'd say in one of the biggest oomphs I've read in a while is MySpace. MySpace recently came out and confirmed that due to a server migration, millions of MP3s on the website between, you know, I think it was like 2005 to 2011 or 2013, some time span of years, but an estimated loss of 50 million songs, 50 million MP3s on the website just gone due to a botched server migration. And you know, I remember back in the day and during MySpace's popularity, is that musical artists were using it to sort of catapult or jumpstart their careers or get notoriety. I mean, it worked for quite a few people in the day, and it's just kind of sad. A big loss of sort of internet history that just boom disappeared, and everyone, if you don't have backups, which apparently many artists did not have backups, they trusted MySpace, I guess, to host those files indefinitely. Well, now they're gone for good.
Right. And 12 years is a long time. I mean, my goodness, like 12 years is long enough where even if it wasn't lost physically, it was kind of out of everyone's minds and kind of lost figuratively. And so when you count on those types of things as archival services, Flickr is another one of those that recently changed its business model and made storage of photos not the archival process that everyone kind of used it for. And so
as Cory Doctorow pointed out on the article on Boing Boing, this is going to happen to Facebook. This is going to happen to Flickr. It's going to happen to any service that hosts files or content.
Yep. And that is
one point or another.
That is why it is so important to have your own blog or your own website where you can host your own things in your own way. I mean
it's a mantra. Own your data.
Yeah. It is a lot of responsibility, but for the things that matter to you most, you have to take that responsibility on. Like, there are some things that you can offload, but things that are important like that, you have to keep close to you. And so, it's a lot of extra work, but if it's important, you gotta consider doing it. Put it up on your WordPress site, find a web host that lets you have, whatever amount of storage space you need for your media library, and put all of your MP3s, your raw data, your raw photos, your videos, whatever.
A great example that I can relate to is that WordPress Weekly, I did more than 100 episodes of WordPress Weekly on TalkShoe, and TalkShoe was a service I used back in the day that gave you a telephone ID number that you could use to call in with an actual phone. Mm-hmm. The voice quality was terrible. But I knew if I didn't download the MP3s from TalkShoe and hosted them on the Tavern, or at least have a backup of, one day something was going to happen. It was a service. Those shows would disappear. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, the other day I logged into TalkShoe. I was looking for my show, and it has disappeared either due to inactivity or something. And all those episodes, all those MP3 files, there's no way I can get them. Mm-hmm. Maybe the account is hidden. I'm not sure. But as far as I know, even through Google searches, WordPress Weekly no longer exists on TalkShoe. So, you know, I'm thanking my lucky stars that, you know, I had the wherewithal, because it's important to me. I kept backups and downloaded those shows before they disappeared.
And even episodes that we've recorded where one of our audio was bad, to know that we've recently been independently recording our own side of the conversation. Our own tracks, right? we learned the lesson, but if something happens to the live stream, we can mix it and reship a new episode just by each one of us having our own independent channels, because it's important to us. And so you just hold on to that data. What difference does it make? So the MySpace thing I thought was absolutely incredible. Like, what a weird thing to kind of come out of nowhere.
Man, that's a lot of music just gone. And there's probably a handful of music in there that's crap. There are people out there that are saying, thank God it's gone forever. Nobody will ever find this beat mix I made or something. But you know, it's a little bit disappointing that such a huge chunk of history, fabric, things that was part of the web, that now it's just, it's a hole. You can't fill it anymore.
I went through and backed up my tweets from Twitter. I got the backup, and then I deleted them all. Like, so those are all gone, which is nice. But then think of the services that like are maybe not necessarily WordPress directly related, but Twitch, you know, all of the replayability of videos and live chat and the streaming and the things that happen is a lot of data to hold on to. Or Slack, something that we all use or dump images into and conversations in, and they made a policy. They have a policy at 10,000 messages or less, and they're just going to purge everything out of the chat room unless you start paying for it. And so naturally, they want you to pay. That's how they have. That's how they have sustainability, where they can hold on to people's archives of things. But the only place to archive it is for you.
And by the way, one of the nice things about this now is that when Google Hangouts works, the video goes to YouTube, which includes audio. So there's one source of the show. But then I also download the MP4 file, and I extract. I use the audio from that in Audacity, and I use the audio from that creating an MP3 file. So I have access to the compressed MP3 file, the uncompressed MP4 file, plus the videos hosted on YouTube. So it's like the backup is part of my process on publishing the podcast. Yep. So that works. It's pretty nice.
Yep. Multiple backups. That's the whole plan, is the multiple locations and multiple methods, and then verify your backups to make sure that they actually work if you try to restore them, because they're useless if they are backups that you cannot actually restore from.
And I think I've accomplished that feat before of trying to restore a backup, and that backup's corrupted.
Yep.
What good is it?
Yep. Whoops. And lots of times you see people's PlayStation games, their save files get corrupted. You can back stuff up to the cloud, but then something on the cloud corrupts your local save. Like, this is all still in the works. And so, again, the things that are important, you have to find a way to back up in a way that's safe for yourself.
So other than that, that's pretty much all that's going on in the world of WordPress that I have noticed.
Sugar Calendar 2 is going to ship soon. Like, it could have shipped today, but I had to change the licensing screen. So it'll probably ship later today or tomorrow. But for the folks that have been looking for that, that'll happen. So that'll be all cool. Right.
So there's that. We don't have any guests scheduled for next week, but that could change. I'm just happy we're in spring. I know. I'm not happy that Orthodox Easter is next month, because that means a 4-hour church session, and I don't want to get into it. But, man, that's a lot of standing on your feet, and it just drives me nuts. But I do it because I love my wife.
You do love your wife. It is very, very nice of you to take the time out of your day for her to stand.
Yes. And all that. But there's a basket full of meat that I get to eat afterwards. So I guess that's what it comes down to.
Jeff.
Just keep my eye. All right, I'm not going to go there. That's going to do for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at JEFFR0. And you can follow John. I guess he still tweets.
Yeah, but then Twitter, I delete him right away.
Yeah, and then he deletes them after he backs them up.
Yep. GitHub at JJJ or JJJ.blog.
All right, and there you have it. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. So long, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.